Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another edition of Nima Parvini versus Right Wing Ideas. As if this series has not upset people enough, today I'm going to be taking aim at what I'm calling the bourgeois family as the highest good. This is going to be an interesting one, to say the least. Before I get going, I think it's the penultimate day of the autumn sale. Promo code Shredder gets you 25% off all courses. Buy it now. I'm going to play the ad, and when I come back, I'll lay out my case in full.
It's promo code Shredder. World-class education denied to you by school, denied to you by woke university. Well, no more. Pick up your course today. 25% off all courses with promo code Shredder. That's Shredder. Buy it now.
All right, well, pick up a course today. So, the early 20th century notion of the 2.4 family becoming a parent and seeing this as the highest good or the summum bonum, the ultimate aim, okay, is particularly venerated by conservatives. It is the mantra of all conservatives that this is the best thing that you can do. I remember I had a run-in with a bunch of Catholic trad dads where I suggested something like this on Twitter before, and I was absolutely swarmed by all of these burly guys in baseball caps who have like Catholic dad, American flag, you know, outside the baseball game or whatever, NFL game. That was their whole deal. And I always remember some of the responses to that, you know, that there's nothing better in the world, simmering a stew and all this sort of stuff. And I still disagree, even though I've been through all of that. Let me get into why. In fact, I would suggest it's quite a loserish, domesticated notion that simply starting a family is the highest possible good, okay? If anything, it should be like the bare minimum or something like that. But it's not a high benchmark. The highest good of what a man can be isn't that, okay? Mere reproduction is the level of the animal, okay? And men in particular, women too, but I want to focus on men in this because really, this is often pushed by this type of profile of rightist, the kind of trad cath thing. They often push this as the highest moral good. So I'm taking aim at them, really. Men can have a higher purpose. They can be defined by greater works than mere fatherhood. No great man in history has been primarily defined by who he was married to, or if he has kids, or if he played board games with his kids, or if he, you know, these aren't the things that get you remembered. Maybe some of these guys were ludicrous love rats who had 20 children, hundreds of kids in some cases of great men. In other cases, they wouldn't have had any kids at all. In some cases, they wouldn't have been married. In some cases, they were married multiple times. The point is that their domestic arrangements were not the thing that we remember about them. Their greatness was not as a function of their familial relations. They were reaching for something higher. So, this veneration of the family, and of particularly of the domestic family arrangement, the domestic unit, is peculiarly, I would say, bourgeois in orientation. It is bourgeois, it is conformist, it is lacking in vitality, and perhaps most importantly, it is surrendering the political will to win to the enemy. because the enemy, as they are, many of them don't have these families to distract them, to make them more risk averse, to give them other priorities. You know, gay men, I'm not saying all of them, obviously gay men can adopt, lesbians can adopt, but many politically active types on the left don't have kids, they don't have families like that. And the man with no family, or indeed the lesbian or the whatever other alphabetty spaghetti you want to put there, with no family, is devoted to one purpose and one purpose only, if they so choose to devote their time and efforts to that one thing. And if that's politics, they can get an awful lot done by devoting themselves solely to this. They have, in fact, as a whole dedicated kind of activist class that they have on the left, who spend all their time, you know, doing this sort of thing. Whereas, of course, you know, if you have a family, you just have other priorities. That is the actual reality. That's the trade-off of having the family, okay? But if you have the family and you become that domesticated unit, the reality is, as I've talked about before, that you're basically maxing out the taxing and the grilling part. Taxing and grilling. You know, you're paying your taxes, you're doing your duty, you know, you're raising the next generation, putting them into school so they can, you know, also become useful citizens. And that's fine. And I'm not kind of against that. I'm just saying that it's not the highest good and it shouldn't be held up as the greatest ideal of all. Now, I understand why people have that, because they look at the declining birth rates and so on. But you can have a look at my video yesterday for why I'm less concerned about birth rate decline as a phenomenon overall. And you can take up the arguments on that video. Today, I'm focusing simply on this kind of petty bourgeois, you know, focus on the family as the thing. It's inherently a kind of small C conservative. But what are small C conservatives in the great game of history, the great losers of history, the beautiful losers, as Sam Francis once put it? Okay, so, you know, politically speaking, it's generally like not that advantageous. You may get other things out of it, but those things aren't politics. Those things are, you know, your domestic life, domestic bliss, if you want to put it that way. Although anyone who's had kids will know it's not always bliss, right? So I think it's important to understand this. Many historical greats, Leonardo is one example, Isaac Newton, didn't have kids. You still remember them because of their great works, because of what they contributed to the world. You don't necessarily remember the fact they didn't have kids, okay? Modern politics shows child-free individuals have advantages in dedication. They take greater risks. Risk-taking is often correlated with success in various different areas. Child-free professionals achieve 20% higher earnings. This was a study done by a feminist on women's career progression. Basically, if you have kids versus not having kids, it's 20% pay cut, basically. Families are units of control, of course. They are taxed, they are regulated, they serve the state interests. And all of this stuff is good for a functioning, well-adjusted society. All of those things are good if everything was hunky-dory. Things are not hunky-dory, ladies and gentlemen, so... In a counterintuitive way, the good thing to do as a conservative in 1955, for example, is not necessarily the best thing to do if you want change in that direction today. Because the sort of individual required today is not the family man. It's not Homer Simpson. It's not the gorilla. Okay? It is somebody of vitality. It is somebody of limitless drive and ambition, who takes risks, who doesn't care, who's going to put in 20 hours a day. Those are the sorts of individuals that are required. So yeah, I would say actually that it gives a structural advantage to the left, this kind of conservative obsession with family. I think that ought to be all. I mean, I do have other notes and things. I do have other notes, but I think it's just, it's a kind of, it's one of those things, ideas that after encountering Carlyle, didn't have kids, Evola didn't have kids, and various other writers, it's just, you start to see how so many of the things that the bourgeois conservative worldview foregrounds are actually those things favoured by what Mike from Imperium has called the Tyric man, the kind of rule takers, the people who maintain a system, the people who follow the rules and keep it going, and you know, they're not going to bring about great jolts, great kind of changes. For that, as Mike talks about, you need the Odinic type. You need these kind of great figures, or in Pareto's terms, you need a type one, as opposed to you need a lion, but you need a lion who is dynamic, right? You need a, rather than the kind of conservative, risk-averse model, okay? I'm not saying it's impossible to have a family and also to be that sort of individual, but it's greatly, greatly more difficult, I would suggest. And I guess the other point is that, you know, you're bringing families into the world, and obviously I'm not going to say that's a bad thing. I'm not going to tell anybody not to have a family. But of course, when you're having a family, you are actually in the business of maintenance of the current status quo, whatever it is. And just due to the structure of things, school and various other things. Now, I know in America there's a big homeschooling culture. That's not quite so big over here. But you're kind of forced back into, you know, the constraints, in a way, of status quo society, just through the very... Whereas, if you're a full-time activist, if you don't have those constraints, you don't have those things, you know, your kind of incentives and your constraints are very different. I'll just put it that way, okay? So... yeah, I mean, I guess I'm making a practical point, and I'm also making an overall ethical or philosophical point about what is a person's highest purpose. Okay, one of the books that changed my mind on this was actually Evola's Eros and the Mysteries of Love, where he basically says, look, women tend to be the ones who are more kind of, they're closer to the material, they're closer to earthly things, and closer to the reproductive process. So he argues that the kind of biological imperative to, you know, have kids and so on, you know, historically has tended to rest with women, whereas men, you know, like some of these great men we've talked about, tend to have this greater quest in mind, whether it's an abstract ideal or a religion or a philosophy or military matters or action in various different ways. And really that book changed a lot of my thinking around this, and several other books that I don't really need to go into. But of course, this is not the standard thought, I would say, on the quote-unquote right. So, all right, I'll leave it there. Pick up a course at the academic agency, like I said. And tomorrow we're going to wrap up on this controversial series with the final part, which is on low IQ bigotry. Until then.
If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.